Brady Forrest is one of the organizers of the WEAR 2.0 conference coming up June 13th and 14th in San Jose. WEAR 2.0 is all about location technology, how it's opening up a whole new world of possibilities, allowing us to do more with everything from phones to search to games. We'll be showcasing some excellent new projects at the WEAR 2.0 conference. One of those presenters is Josh Peterson of Robot Co-op. Brady spoke to Josh recently about what he's up to.
Today I'm with Josh Peterson of the Robot Co-op, who's located in Seattle, my hometown.
Howdy.
Josh is the CEO of a company called the Robot Co-op, which has developed a network of sites. And one which we're going to be focusing on today is 43 places. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
You bet. We run five different sites. Three of them are 43 things, 43 places, and 43 people. And as you mentioned, they're a network of networking sites. One of the things we were interested in trying to build these sites was to sort of experiment with how to build a site that lets an individual kind of peel back layers of themselves one at a time, and different sites that appeal to different audiences. The site we're going to be talking about at the WEAR 2.0 conference is 43 Places. It's a site that's focused around a list that a user can make of up to 43 places they want to go in their life, and they can share stories about places they've been and read stories from people who've been to the places they want to go. It's a great sort of social networking site around places that people have in common.
How much content have you guys been collecting?
Well, the site's been up for a little less than a year, and it's got a little over 50,000 people using it. This is just 43 places, and it's got, I think, around 60,000 places that we know about. The site's quite complicated in the way it's built around other services. So when we launched, we had only about 4,000 places that we knew about. And similar to Wikipedia, the site's user built, where users come and tell us about new places that they care about. It's a little different than a simple wiki setup in that it's got a hierarchical taxonomy, but similar to Wikipedia in that users submit the content and write their own stories about the places, upload photos. We also sit on top of a couple of other services like Flickr and Upcoming to add events and photos to places. So for any place that people care about, we're interested in having a page that people can tell stories about that place and where people who are interested in that place can go and discover the people who want to go there, the people who've been there, and what types of things are going on in that place.
So what are some of your favorite places on the site that have been detailed?
Well, I like a lot of the local sites. I've learned a lot about my own city building the site. So it's one of the things that's fun is we've got about 1,400 people in Seattle using the sites, and there's a lot you can find out, you know, about your own city. We've kind of developed this theme about an interest in trying to live in a place with a new attitude, almost like you're on vacation in your own city. The site's also great for exploring places you could only dream of going. There's one of the other sites we run is called Lists of Bests, and on that we have a list called 1001 Places to See Before You Die. And it's based on a book of the same name, and that lists all these 1001 places. It's an absolute dream to fantasize about visiting those places. The pages on India and on Thailand are some of the ones that I'm very interested in, just because places I'd like to go. And there's some great stories and great photos that users have uploaded.
So when you first launched, it was a website, and that was the way you prompted people to enter the data. But you've started to expand out beyond that. What are some of the things that you're doing?
There's a few ways we've expanded from just a simple website. I mentioned some of the ways we work with web services. We use web services from Google, from Yahoo, Upcoming, and Flickr. And then we provide our own web services as well for all the sites. There's a number of folks who've built applications around our web services for 43 places. There's also mobile features that we're starting to build out that let users upload a photo or check in from a location to tell users of the site where they are. And then we start to build a list of places where you're a regular based on your frequency of check-in. And then also just letting you right now upload a photo, soon be able to tag a place. Also, you can get the address from a place. So other ways you can interact with the site and also add content to it from a mobile phone.
And you've recently added events as well.
We started seeing lots of users adding events to places. You know, I mentioned the site's hierarchically built, so you'll see something like San Jose inside California. And users started adding events in San Jose as places. The architecture of the site, again, is wide open like a wiki. So we just added a little more structure to those things for events, to be able to add an event to a venue at a time and a date, and just list info about the event and say who's going. And with the use of web services, we're able to layer in other event sites. So far right now, upcoming.org events are getting listed on 43 places as well.
Are there any other examples where your users started working in the architecture to create new features for themselves?
There definitely are. Yeah, one of the other ones that I can think of is people also list things to do in places. So you'll see things like go horseback riding in Mongolia as one of the things that it actually comes from the list of best list. But the architecture, somebody just lists horseback riding. It's obviously not a place in Mongolia, but it's a thing to do. And so we're looking at ways that we can work in listing those things, which fit quite nicely with our site 43 things, as well as the site list of best into 43 places. So for every city or place on 43 places, we could have a list of the most popular things to do. May someday integrate 43 people in there as well with people you ought to meet in this place. Another whole area, really, that the users have done, again, sort of the yeoman's work that they've done on Wikipedia, is just by correcting and adding and editing all the data on 43 places. So we've turned over the tools for how to run the site over to the users. So at the bottom of every page, users can tell us that a place is a duplicate, that it should be merged under another place, that it should be renamed, or that it's misspelled, or that the photos that are being automatically pulled in that have Creative Commons licenses from Flickr are not the right photos. And so it's like a team of 50,000 editors helping to build this big geographic storybook about places.
And so how many of them actually have admin privileges on the site?
Everyone who's using the site has admin privileges to the site for correcting or editing data on the site. We have a tiered level that we use to just give users who've sort of proved themselves at a certain status to be approvers, but everyone has admin approval to edit and correct.
And so right now you guys are working on 43 places. You're focusing on this site.
Yeah, the Robot Co-op, we're a small company, 7 people, and we run 5 sites. It's going to be fun when we get to the point where we have a site for each employee. But for now, we work kind of seasonally on these different sites, and we're excited that we're coming back around to 43 places, and we're doing a big development push on it now. We've released some of these features I've already talked about, the mobile phone check-ins. We've reworked the way tagging works on the site so that you can tag browse multidimensionally, both by topic or by geography. So you can go to a page like the San Francisco page and click on restaurants, and from there you can refine by Mexican. You can add other tag adjectives that are going to be cheap or expensive. You can refine by neighborhood as well and see where the cheap Mexican restaurants are in all the different neighborhoods of San Francisco. So anyway, tag browsing has been a big push. We've reworked some of the ways that entries work on the site so users can tell different types of stories. So we've added a bunch of categories like news and rumors about a place, or the first time I ever went to this place, or the last time I went to this place. So the site's more about the different types of stories that people tell. And we're building a set of features that are going to use those different entry types in new ways that we think are going to be interesting, particularly on a local level, so that we'll be able to get you news and information about places you care about.
Right now, you guys aren't very map-focused. As I'm going through the site, I find places either by search or by going through the hierarchy, as opposed to really pinpointing, other than your flash map.
Yeah, we like to say we're like Google Maps without the maps. And then hopefully it's got all the excitement and interest. But we're not map-focused in that there's just better sites on the Internet that have, sites like Google or Yahoo that have resources to license, multi-million dollar map databases. They're always going to be able to do a better job than we can, but we're building up a lot of interesting data about the places people really care about and the stories they have about it, as well as the way that data overlays to an individual. And so there we'll do some interesting mashups, I think, with maps. So for instance, you'll see on the top of every person's profile page, there's a map of the world, and the map colors in by the places they've been and the places they want to go. We can do things like that similarly. Some of these other mapping services, again, with the open APIs to either do it ourselves or let other people plot places they want to go in certain countries over a map or plot their entries and photos around maps. So we're interested in doing more with that, but at the same time, we don't still see ourselves as a mapping site. We do store, and users give us lat longs and map coordinates for places on the site.
Is that exposed via your API?
From the API, you can get the lat long for every place if we've got it.
So how many sites probably have the lat long data?
It's a good question. I would think the way we actually collect it is using a mashup with Google Maps, where we show people maps and ask them to pinpoint where the place is, and then we store the lat long out of that. We also have lat longs for all the addresses, so I would say about 20,000 places have addresses. So we're around a third of the places probably have lat longs.
Wow. Has anybody made any mashups with your site?
Yeah, there are people who've built actually some geotagging mashups, so things that use like GPS recorders and then get back data from us. There's been some Dodgeball 43 places mashups that I've seen built. Our stuff is mashed up into sort of these aggregated feed readers like Superglue. There's widgets for 43 places that you can put on TypePad blogs that use the APIs. A number of other services, a piece of an A9 search service for 43 places. You know, a lot of the mashup projects are kind of science projects that people do on their own, but I think we'll see in the next year or two some start to come together that are actually really useful and interesting.
Are you seeing a lot of traffic through your APIs compared to your site?
No, but the site by far is the more popular way of getting at the data. Again, I think the APIs are really in the hands of developers right now, starting to think about, you know, what could they make out of something like this. You know, one of the things that our service, I think, somewhat uniquely does is combines events, photos, place names, tags in a way that any developer can get at with an API. So I expect people will be using it to build things, but for now it's still at the hobby stage.
So Josh, what makes your site different from all the other sites out there that are focused on the social data layer?
There's a few things I think that we're doing that are really unique. You know, one of the things it's interesting to think about is we're building a site that's at once local and global at the same time. And that's just it's a great experience and an experiment to build that atlas of places that locals know about and tourists are interested in that works for both. So, you know, the travel space is full of folks who've really tried to monetize the space and in so doing haven't really created compelling content. And the local space is full of people, you know, trying to get you to review your dry cleaner or talk about your favorite restaurant. And we're kind of blurring the lines of both of those with the local and global architecture of 43 places. And they're also really committed to building it in a low monetized, user created friendly way that isn't trying to push commerce at the expense of making it something that's interesting. You know, to us, both Craigslist and Wikipedia are great examples of people who provide a service that users fall in love with and really help build and then just kind of get out of the way. And so that's really our approach. I think that's different from some of the other commercial services out there.
Well, thank you very much for taking some time this afternoon on your birthday to talk with me and tell us about your site.
Thanks for having me.
If you're interested in learning more about how Josh and other smart people are pushing the boundaries of location-aware technologies, visit the WHERE 2.0 conference website at conference.oreilly.slash.where. The conference is happening June 13th and 14th in San Jose. We hope to see you there.